From Muse by Clio and the Clio Awards, this is Tagline, the show about great ads and the people who make them. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Tagline. I'm Tim Nudd, and we have something a little different today. Usually on the show, we have people talk about the ads they've made. This time, we're asking people about the ads they love. We're calling the series Ad Nerds, and we'll be nerding out about people's personal favorites, old ads, new ads, even some ads that made these folks want to get into this crazy business in the first place. We're also looking for interesting stories about the ads that inspired you, so please DM me on Twitter, @Nudd, if you have a fun one. We've got our first four victims today, so stick around to hear their stories, and thanks for listening. We'll be right back. Season 2 of Tagline is brought to you by GSTV. For those of you who may not be familiar, there's a good chance you watch GSTV every time you fuel up. GSTV is a national video network that's had incredible growth, now reaching 104 million viewers a month with a unique one-to-one moment of attention. Think about it. What campaign would you run with that moment? On Tagline, we're discussing some of the most memorable spots in history. Imagine how those campaigns, or your next one, could be creatively transformed in context on GSTV. To fuel your next creative campaign, visit gstv.com/tagline.
Here's a little song for anyone who's ever hated, in the key of grrr. Can hate be good? Can hate be great? Can hate be good? Can hate be great? Can hate be something we don't hate?
Whenever I speak to ad people about their favorite work, this spot comes up a lot. Like, a lot. Honda Gurr, the 90-second animated ad by Wieden & Kennedy London from 2004, which introduced the company's iCTDI diesel engine in the UK with a catchy song sung by Garrison Keillor, all about hating traditional diesel engines. But for Omid Farhang, co-founder of the agency Majority, it was more than just a cool commercial.
Oh, isn't it just bliss when a diesel goes like this?
It actually changed the course of his life in ways he couldn't have expected at the time. Here's Omid.
As the child of Iranian immigrants, I grew up under the assumption that there were three professions. You could either be a doctor, a lawyer, or a loser. And so in 2004, I was working rigorously towards a career in the law. I had taken the LSAT, I'd gotten in, and I was getting ready to go to law school. And this is gonna sound sappy, but and then I saw Honda Gurr, and it changed my life, and it changed the trajectory of my career. And I knew that I wanted to be in advertising. I was always a creative person, but I would have never called myself an artist. I had business interests and I had artistic interests, and I wasn't sure what to do with that. And my assumption was, you know, you'd just be a lawyer and you're miserable all day, and then you'd come home at night and figure out how to gain some joy in the couple hours before sleep. And that ad to me was the first I had ever seen that had really sort of galvanized for me the relationship between strategy and creative. You know, the folklore of the spot is that Wieden creatives in London were struggling to figure out how to promote a diesel engine, and sort of in their desperation to figure out what to do, they went and spoke to Honda engineers, and they said, you know, like, just what can you tell us about a diesel engine and the purpose of this product? And they were taken aback by the response from the engineers, which was essentially, we have to make a diesel engine, and our starting point was, we hate diesel engines. When you think of diesel engines, they're loud and they're highly polluting. And when you think of those sort of plumes of black smoke, that is the diesel engine that we've always known. And so this really sort of captured the attention of the Wieden London creatives, who thought to themselves, like, so you guys were motivated by your hatred of diesel engines. And so that sort of strategic gem became kind of the, you know, it became sort of the centerpiece of this idea that was brought together so beautifully and creatively and well crafted. For the first time, I started to gain an appreciation that the best creatives are secretly some of the best strategists. And it really, to me, was sort of, it embodied the notion of sort of art with a business purpose. So as beautiful as the ad was, the animation, the music, you know, at the time in 2004, it was on par with any Pixar or Disney animated piece. But it was the underlying strategic piece that motivated it, that had me watching it over and over and quite literally rethinking my life. Yeah, I think what the Wyden London team did was they identified a really powerful tension, something to push against. And I think I've spent the rest of my career kind of starting my own creative process that way. And, you know, I'm constantly looking for that tension. I think there was an era of advertising that was not necessarily teaching us to push against, you know, attention in that kind of direct and almost confrontational way. And I think that was one of the ads that kind of, you know, started to define advertising in the 21st century, not just from a craft perspective, but in terms of starting with that tension that you're pushing against, that thing that is sort of difficult for us to reconcile. And I think that became sort of a hallmark of the advertising that would follow over the next, you know, 2 decades.
Sing it like you hate it.
Hate something, change something, hate something, change something, make something better.
You know, personally, I think that any time you do something creative, you that are doing something creative, you should be the first one to be embarrassed of what you do. Embarrassed. Say, Mamma Mia. It should even overcome your morality. The impossible. So you should be the first one to think, I'm a jerk. Well, anyhow, that's the way you should dream. Almost like an idiot. That people can tell you he's an idiot. Idiot did a lot of important things.
That's Oliviero Toscani, speaking recently with the Art Directors Club of Europe. Toscani is the Italian photographer who shocked the world with his provocative ad campaigns for Benetton in the 80s and 90s. Poum Lefebure, chief creative officer of Design Army, remembers those ads very well. How growing up in Thailand, they were so different than anything she'd seen up to that point. How they really operated on a different level than most advertising seemed to. She also recalls how they influenced her own style as a graphic designer later on. Here's Poum.
So I saw the Benetton ad when I was in high school. At that time, I was, you know, living in Thailand still. And I remember I was flipping through the magazine for a sudden I stopped because I saw the picture of a priest kissing a nun. And that was shock image for me, knowing that, you know, I went to Catholic school all my life. So that's like something that you don't usually see. And then I noticed the logo on the lower right-hand corner, it say United Colors of Benetton. And I thought, okay, interesting. Because at the time, when you go to the mall and shopping around Thailand, you know that that's a clothing brand. But it was just very provocative to see a fashion brand, you know, project an image that has nothing to do with the product. After that, I think I start seeing ads from Benetton, you know, one after the other. One of them was a newborn baby still attached to the umbilical cord that come out with mother's wombs, and it was shocking. And then the other one, I remember seeing like multicolor condoms on a page, and you know, just say United Colors of Benetton, because at that time we were facing the AIDS crisis. So I thought it was like really interesting thing to see for a fashion brand. I think when you were a teenager, you don't know, but you just like the rebellious, right? Like everyone showing how beautiful the clothes is and, you know, putting on like the perfect model. And then for sudden you see this brand just showing a very unpleasant images. And for me, as a teenage girl, I thought that was cool, right? As a teenager, you were a little bit rebellious. You know, you went to all-girl Catholic school all your life, and you see this kind of thing, you kind of like, this is cool, this is cool. I thought it was very provocative and bold. The person who designed the ad, the ad director, he's actually a graphic designer. His name is Tibor Carmen, and he owned a design studio in New York called M & Co. And what I like about his approach is, because I think maybe that was for the first time I see advertising as not a funny ha-ha execution. You know, it was serious. As you know, I grew up in Thailand. I grew up with a really, really funny advertising, ad campaign or, you know, funny Thai ad. It's just like the funniest thing you ever seen. Whereas like when you see the print ad in the magazine, it has that seriousness to it. And I think that's what I like. And the way the design and the art direction was very simple. I thought, you know, you can shout quietly without saying a word. I think that was the power of art direction and design. And that's what has inspired me to become a graphic designer. Because I want to be able to think that way. I'm a strong believer in visual storytelling. I think part of it is that, you know, I want to become graphic designer because I like anything that design, but then at the same time, the art direction was something that was quite interesting to me because that's when you kind of create an idea and concept that become visible. You know, growing up in Thailand or like, you know, study design, I sketch all the time because I really truly believe, you know, when you sketch, when you draw is when you think. I'm not very good with like copy, you know, because when I came here, I studied graphic design. English was my second language. So I try to communicate my idea through visual. And I think that's what just kind of set foundation of Design Army work in a way. I remember collecting Absolute Vodka ad. And that was like the early day of Photoshop. I thought it was very cool and imaginative to see the bottle in different form. So I always drawn into a very strong art direction.
Once again, thanks to our sponsor of today's episode, GSTV. GSTV recently launched Amplify, a retail media network that helps CPG marketers reach consumers primed to spend in the last mile of the consumer journey. With 2 in 3 GSTV viewers shopping on the day they fuel up, Amplify is a solution for CPG marketers to ensure your campaigns are being seen and influencing your consumers' next action. To learn more, visit gstv.com/amplify.
You love me. You love me not. You love black culture, but do you love me? You love how I sound, my voice, these beats, this flow. Not me though, right? You love how I look, my hair, this skin, but me? Nah.
In November 2020, Beats by Dre and the agency Translation released The Amazing Spot, You Love Me, a meditation on how black culture is revered in America, while black people remain marginalized, oppressed, and unloved.
All men are created equal? That's my favorite part. You hate us so deeply, but you're still so impressed. Why can't you see? There's history in our skin. You built this country on our backs. I'm him. He's me. She, us, we are all black.
The Spot, directed by Melina Matsoukas, with a script by Lena Waith, and music by Solange Knowles, is one of the most celebrated of the past few years. For good reason. Walter Geer of VMLY&R was one of many who found the work to be compelling in a way advertising rarely is. From the boldness of the approach to the beauty of the craft. We're working on a full tagline episode about this spot coming later this summer, but for now, here's Walt on the impact of this modern classic.
I gotta say, when I saw, you know, You Love Me by Beats by Dre, I gotta tell you, it moved me. Like, it literally moved me to tears because it was the first time I felt, I was able to see, you know, advertising that was just so intentional, right? And advertising that was so much about the moment that we were in. I think a lot of brands and a lot of, you know, creative agencies try to capture moments, but it's hard. And it's harder when it's about, you know, these type of topics that we're talking about, you know, being included, right? And diversity and discussing and tackling real issues around lives and people that have been killed, quite frankly, murdered. And I think that, you know, some, while some, you know, folks try to take it in terms of, you know, running with the, hey, the moment and just being present, that was just done in such an authentic and real way that just made you understand the power of who we are and what we represent and how you can actually speak to an audience in a way that truly connects in, on an emotional level, and on a level that allows folks to be educated. Yeah, I think it was a bold message, right? And I think that there's a lot of brands that want to do bold work, but don't really have the guts to really do it. And yeah, I think it was like being very cut and dry and direct, right? And telling people like, look, you say you love us, but do you really? And I think it made people question, right? And when you put out that type of work and you put out that type of conversation, it's so powerful. I think it's a piece of work that makes people stop in their tracks and say, am I a part of the problem or am I helping solve the problem? Right. And